bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but we do say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So I appreciate your desire to be with us today in a time or assembly time of worship. So thank you for coming today. There's an outline of the lesson, a bulletin. And many times I'll ask my brethren to look around, because we might have some company with us today. Be sure you share that information, and at least it'll be available to you. I saw a little cartoon in the newspaper. Kind of applies, I think, anyway. Got a picture of a preacher standing behind the pulpit, and the audience is out there. And the preacher says, "I'm sorry, Brother Stevens. Is my sermon preventing you from getting your sleep?" Brother Stephen says, "Oh, no, sir, actually it's helping a lot." So when I think about sermons, I suppose they all have their purpose. Usually I think it's designed to awake you, but if it puts you to sleep, I guess that's all right, too, in a way. The title of the lesson this morning is Everyday Christianity. Everyday Christianity. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Some of these I have some verses I may have not put in your notes, but Acts chapter 5, verse 42 says, "Every day in the temple in their home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ." I remember when I was a child, we had a phrase we don't hear very often, at least I don't hear very often, but you know, we have different kinds of clothes. My parents would talk about if you're going out to play, you got to put on your play clothes. Or we had our everyday clothes, our work clothes. Then we even had Sunday clothes. I remember that phrase when I was a child. But in similar fashion, I think with that illustration, some people view religion as a Sunday function only. They say, "Oh, it's time for me to put on my religion or my Christianity. Oh, it's Sunday." So in this lesson, I want to encourage you to see that Christianity demands more from us than just a Sunday go-to-meeting religion or a way of life. In the Old Testament system, they had daily services or daily sacrifices, daily obligation, at least in the priesthood. In Exodus 29 and verse 38, this verse is not in your notes, but in Exodus 29 verse 38 says, "Now this is that which you shall offer upon the altar, two lambs a year old, day by day, continually. One lamb you'll offer in the morning, the other you'll offer in the evening." In Exodus 30 verse 7 says, "Aaron," who's the high priest, "shall offer burnt offering thereon sweet incense every morning." So the priesthood under the Old Testament had daily obligations required by God. It wasn't something they made up. Well, here we are under the New Testament, and we have, as Christians, as priests, daily obligations. Something that God requires of us all the time, continually. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, says, "Ye also," when Peter writes to his congregation, he says, you brethren, ye also, as living stones, you're built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." Every Christian is a priest. The priesthood of all believers, we sometimes use the phrase. Then the next phrase is, "to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." In Romans 12, Paul illustrates the same, or gives a ourselves to God in a way that God has designed. We're not left up to our own choice. So I've suggested a few things in your notes today, and I'm sure this doesn't exhaust the list. I know it doesn't, of the requirements. But to give you some idea, look at some of these spiritual sacrifices that we could make every day. Number one, daily prayer. That was offered under the Old Testament. Psalm 55:17. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, they asked the request, Lord, teach us to pray. Included in that model was the phrase, give us this day our daily bread. The implication, they were to pray every day. God, give us this day. Tomorrow, they say again, God, give us this day. We in our prayers, I might say, God, I need you again today. Every morning. Thanks for the help I got yesterday, but this is a new day. I need you again. So in our daily prayers, ask God to help us. In Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Daily. God daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. I like that. I don't know who the author of this poem is, but it kind of gives us the idea that we can pray anytime, any place, anywhere. So the place of prayer is anywhere. Beside a bed or bench or chair. Or out in the fields of ripened corn. Or in the city streets at morn. Washing dishes or hauling hay. God will listen if you pray. The power of prayer is greater than the understanding of a man. It heals and blesses anyone who puts his faith in God's only Son. For prayer will really help you win all fighting with Satan and self and sin. The peace of prayer is so complete, it brings joy and routs defeat. It strengthens patience and renews that spirit that we must never lose. God heals the soul and takes the care from every heart that breathes in prayer. The one obligation that we have is prayer, and I want to encourage you, and I know you do already, you pray every day in some form or fashion. Now, if you're on the freeway, you don't close your eyes. you don't bow your head and fold your hand. No, you just say, oh God. And you call on him in time of need. Say, help me, help me. Number two, how about daily Bible study? I don't know many of you do this already too. I just want to encourage you if you're not involved in this. In Deuteronomy 6, in the text that was read to us this morning, Moses said, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, to teach them diligently to your children. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That sounds like daily Bible study for me. Just kind of put cards of verses around the house, why don't you? That way, every time you walk into the room, oh, there's a verse. Daily Bible study. In Acts 17:11. So these Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily. Examine daily whether those things were so. I know many of you are doing this already. I know Don Hines, he said, told me a while back, he uses these outlines that I have, put in the bulletin for you. He used them for his daily Bible reading during the week. A little sermon review, and there might be some other reading that he would have. I know Jeff Erie picked up one of these outlines and he handed it to co-workers. I know Chris Delgado works with us. He keeps a file folder on all these outlines. I know Danny Diana sent them to a relative back in Texas. She even tells he reads every scripture. You know, I know Leroy takes these outlines and he keeps them in a file so when he's out on a wet pack or out to sea, he can use them when he leads fellow sailors in worship on Sunday. I know Mary Sue Lockwood takes and sends these outlines to a nephew who's early in his preaching career. I know Clarence puts these on the website. I know Orby used to say, share these with somebody at work. Maybe others of you, they're using these in different ways, but that's one way to involve ourselves in daily evangelism or daily Bible study, the daily Bible reading. Number three is daily evangelism. In Luke 19, verse 47, referring to Jesus, he was teaching daily, there's our word again, daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. Acts 5, verse 42, every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as Lord. And Paul said in Acts 20, verse 31, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's the telling. You know, we do this too. Another compliment to the congregation here. Now, I know many of you are involved in daily prayer, daily Bible study. You're involved in daily evangelism. You didn't know that. Now, we're supporting our missionaries. Don't you know they're going out every day? Don't you know we support students in Bible schools, preacher training schools? We're supporting two students right now. So they're involved in daily Bible study, and no doubt it's part of their curriculum. Maybe they have to go out and make a presentation. We have our website. Look at the back of the bulletin. It's a means of daily evangelism. We have parents teaching children every day. We have our interaction with others. And those things come about. And some things you may not think, oh, here's an opportunity. I remember my daughter-in-law. Alma Beth. we were at her dad's funeral a month or so ago. But after we're at home after the going to the cemetery. But her brother-in-law had a Bible question. Was asking Jared. And Jared answered what he could. He said, "Let me go ask my dad." Oh, how unusual! A time for Bible study. At the reception, after a funeral, yeah. And a question about what happens to someone after they die. Let's sit down just for a moment. Opportunity for evangelism. We've got our worldwide Bible school on Monday nights with Dennis and John, and I think a few others have been getting involved in that. Daily evangelism? Well, it's being done. I've just listed 8 examples of daily evangelism. Don't think you're not involved. Number four is daily exhortation. Daily exhortation. Hebrews 3, verse 13, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Another verse, I didn't put this one in your notes. No. But Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 23, says, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we have opportunities to exhort, to encourage, to lift each other up. Even today, in our assembly, you're probably doing that in some of your conversations, maybe with not that intent. Oh, let me exhort you. No. But you were encouraging. You were uplifting. That's exhortation. And so don't think of it as some, oh, I got to stop and let me get a check off list. Oh, I need to exhort somebody. No. You'll probably be doing that in your daily walk, in your interaction with one another. Daily exhortation. Number five, a daily ministration. You're probably thinking, oh, we don't do that. Yes, you do. This congregation is already involved in daily ministration. You didn't know it. I'll explain it to you. First of all, in the illustration, I'll give the scriptures in Acts chapter 6, in verses 1 through 7. There was a situation your sight that, oh, it's only feeding the poor. Oh, widen your view, brethren. Jim just made the announcements. This congregation has sent almost $3,000 over to Mike and Kathy Scott. That's going to take care of 5 weeks of their travel for housing going down to Phoenix. They stay 5 days, come back on the weekend. He has to go down and get his treatment for 5 weeks. That contribution took care of housing for 5 weeks. You are involved in daily ministration for that one couple, Mike and Kathy Scott and Prescott, for 5 weeks. Daily ministration. No, you're not there to drive them. We're not there to house them, take them out for a meal, but we've made a contribution. That is a daily ministration. Individuals here serve family needs. Might be your immediate family or your extended family. There might be somebody in your job that you help periodically, a neighbor. Nobody knows about it, but you do. This congregation is involved in daily ministration. When disasters come up and we hear about them in other parts of the country, we rise to the occasion. We provide for the needs of others. That's daily ministration. You're involved in that. Thank you. Thank you. And you need to know that. Number six. The list could go on. If you're involved, we don't need to know something. You don't want to advertise. What good deed I do? I'd like to know. It might be encouraging to me, but still, just know if you're involved in things, you're involved in daily ministration. Some of us have opportunities more than others. That's Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, but especially those in the household of faith. We're going to have opportunities. So our task as priests, as members, involving ourselves in daily administration is just to see, to open our eyes. It doesn't have to be huge. Don't think, I need to attend to a program. No, I just need to take care of the need as I see. That's daily administration. Number six is daily cross-bearing. I know you're doing this too. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. There's the word again. Daily. And follow me. Matthew 10, verse 38, Jesus said, he that takes not his cross and doesn't follow me is not worthy of me. So here's an obligation that we have. And that is to let others know on whose side we stand. And if that brings about some ridicule or some heartache, that's cross-bearing. If we're not invited to some of the big parties because of our stance to identify ourselves with Christ, that's cross-bearing. The sacrifices we make to strengthen our faith has an element of cross-bearing in that. You can be other places this morning. You decided to make an effort to come to the building here to worship with others of like precious faith. In one sense, because you sacrificed not going to these other places, that identifies an element of cross-bearing. Things that we have to give up that the world is offering so that we can present ourselves before God acceptably was the verse in Romans 12, verse 1. And that's a reasonable but spiritual service. I know you could be other places, but you came here. We bear a cross. There's a song we sing called Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? And the question continues, and all the world go free? And the songwriter answers the question, no, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. There's some cross-bearing that we have to involve ourselves in every day. The last one, number seven. With all of these things in place, there'll be another daily. And that's daily results. And don't think of it, limit your scope to this congregation. You think of the church, not locally, but citywide, statewide, nationwide, worldwide. When you have brethren who are living daily, offering up spiritual sacrifices daily, there's daily results in God's kingdom or God's church. Brethren or people are being born again every day, whether we see it or not. Daily results. In Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added unto them, the church, daily, there's our word, those that were being saved. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, it says, so the churches, not just one congregation, the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So when you think about the church, don't think about just as our congregation here. You think about the church as the verse says, in the county, in the state, in the nation, in the world. And when churches are strengthened in the faith, they increase in number daily. They do. So we ask the question, your life in everyday religion. Do you live everyday in Christianity? That's the challenge. That's the compliment I want to give to the congregation. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Whosoever will may come. You've heard the good news that Jesus is the Christ. You believe that. You're willing to repent or turn your life around, turn toward God, God's way, and confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. To be baptized for remission of sins. All that rise to walk in newness of life, become a Christian. From that point on, begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we extend. We're going to sing a song to give you time to respond.